Yeah.
Check it out.
See, the only thing you need to do right here is snarl your freaking head.
Boy, it's July 2nd, and it's episode 155, and this is the Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast. The Fantasy Football Auctioneer Podcast, the official podcast, thefantasyfootballauction.com, the internet's only website dedicated to fantasy football auctions. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Fantasy Auction. Tonight, we got a great show for you. We're going to break down the NFC South. We're going to take a look at everything from the Dirty Birds to those Buccaneers who have that young, high-flying offense. It sounds like I'm getting ready for a little WWF. I need Mean Gene Okerlund, the High Flyers, the Killer Bees. When we're good, but when we're bad, we're better. Yeah. I think that's how that was the Rockers. I'm sorry. Anyway, speaking of Rockers, our analysts, they're always here. Slim's grinning from the WWF reference, not even WWE. Yeah. Slim, how's it going tonight?
Will the real Slim Shady please stand up? I repeat, will the real Slim Shady please stand up? We're going to have a problem here.
It's going good. I was actually smiling thinking about the Rockers. I used to love the Rockers, told Shawn Michaels and Mighty Jannetty.
But we're going to rock and roll, strut and stroll, and slam and jam like we only can do.
Marty Jannetty, nice. I was just going to actually...
Hair.
I was going to throw that to Buster to see if he would have been able to name the Rockers, which would have been pretty good.
I wouldn't have.
Well, speaking of Blister, let's talk about this one. How about, Blister, we're going to give you... Name one of the wrestlers. One guy was like a... I can't even remember. They were brothers. One was a little bulldog. The other guy had the
British Bulldogs.
Oh, that's pretty good. I'm thinking a little bit more of a Big Papa Pump. I lay my body next to your body, then everybody. Anyways. You know, you see what, can't you see him with that blonde hair and he's just got the flex on in the middle of the ring?
Are you talking about the Steiners or what?
The Steiners, yes, of course. Rick Steiner and?
The other one?
Yeah, the other one.
Jeez.
I'll throw it out there. I'll let you guys
know. Scott Steiner,
there you go. All right, so yeah, I was thinking more of that, and they're probably going to wrestle, you know, the Shadows, Light and Dark. That was an actual tag team back in the day. They'd be wrestling in the Maple Leaf Gardens. The Shadows. Maybe the Poet, Leapin' Lanny Poffel.
No, I don't remember him.
No.
You don't remember Leapin' Lanny Poffel?
No.
Slim, that's right, you're young, though. You're young, though. Anyways... young is not the night, so let's get this thing going, guys. So if you guys are ready, then I'm ready. Let's cock the hammer. It's time for action.
Cock the hammer. Cock the hammer. It's time for action. Cock the hammer. Cock the hammer. It's time for action.
So enough of the wrestling talk. We're going to get right into the NFC South tonight, guys. We've got four teams to break down. They're broken down in the membership area on the website, thefantasyfootballauction.com. So click on the members area and have a look there. See if you're interested in the only all auction membership on the internet. We've been saying that this is the fourth summer now, guys. I can't believe that we're still the only. Didn't we get a shout out from Scott Fish about being the only?
Yeah. He said that. Yeah. He should know. He's involved with everybody that's out there.
Yeah, I guess if he's saying we're the only ones, then that's about as legit as it gets, right?
Yeah, that's sure.
When is that Scott Fishbowl? We got about a week until we're...
Oh, yeah, that's coming up right away. I better get doing some homework now that I'm on time off.
Yeah, that's right. I was just thinking about that earlier today. Slim, I had noticed on the website, because we got the Twitter feed running on the side, that you had done a retweet on the cheat sheet.
Yeah, I think I saw a couple guys doing some big work out there right now. I haven't looked at anything, I'll be honest, too much.
No, I haven't either.
Trying to bookmark things. I don't know. I think with the wonky scoring and everything, I might be better just to go in cold.
I started an MFL 10 yesterday, so because I just got to get my head wrapped around redraft here again. So it's hard. It's hard to turn that dino switch off.
Yeah, no, I'll throw this out there. Maybe if any of our listeners know, like, we contemplated getting together with the boys. We used to get together, you know, every week or every couple of weeks and have a game of poker, but we don't do that much anymore. But we are thinking over the course of summer, if you could do it six times, you know, give or take two, get together 10, 12 guys and do just a best ball redraft type of a draft, just to be drafting. Everyone has so much fun drafting, but get together your guys. So where could you do that? And then what site can you host that on where you can guarantee that, you know, your 12 guys that are sitting around the table, having a beer can all draft and get your, you know, you can't just jump on one and, you know, I don't know. Like if you can go onto Yahoo and you can set up a league on there, but can you set up a redraft or a best ball league?
Best ball.
Or on ESPN or on any of those other leagues. Like, I don't think so. You can set up whatever league you want, but I've never seen it that way. So
you're talking for free too, right? Like obviously an MFL, you can, but it'll cost you.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to pay for the site, but everyone's just throwing in a few bucks and having fun with it, winner take all type of thing. And you go and get together and walk away and not worry about it until the end of the year and look and see what happened.
Have you guys seen have made a move too? They have the new 2X out there now too.
Oh yeah.
So the 2X allows you to double up your money instead of like a winner take all scenario. I think it's the top five or top six get their money back. Top five, I think, get their money back plus an extra $10. So you double up that way. It's kind of an interesting
50-50.
Yeah, a little 50-50. That's right. Taking it from a little DFS. But anyways.
Yeah, well, I got hammered this weekend in golf. Terrible.
Oh, yeah, I thought you got hammered at golf this weekend. That'd be
no, how was that terrible? Was that was Thursday, but no, I lost this week. Stupid tournament. I kind of didn't play as much because I didn't like it, but I still hate losing.
Well, if you need any DFS golf info, at Mr. Blister, he helped me win my 101 in the rookie draft, so had a kid.
I like that.
Anyways, all right, let's get moving into redraft mode here and take a look first. Did we say Slim, we're starting with you? Yeah, we did, didn't we? Slim and the Dirty Birds? All right, Slim, talk to us about what's happening in Atlanta 2017, coming off the Super Bowl cough up. What are they going to look like this year?
The biggest change, I guess, is offensive coordinator. Losing Kyle Shanahan, this highly touted godlike figure that everybody just revamped this team, which, you know, obviously had a big role in that. I shouldn't try and minimize it, but they brought in Steve Sarkisian, and promptly one of the things he said, he was going to try and get Julio Jones the ball more in the red zone, which seemed to be common sense. So, I mean, why wouldn't you do that? Mm. Well, if teams are triple covering him, then I don't care how much you want to try and get him the ball. It might be almost impossible to get him the ball at times. But so anyway, you know, we've got Julio, we've got Devontae, Freeman. You know, both are number one, top 12 guys, I should say, at their position, probably trending more towards the top of those two tiers, respectively. So, yeah, those guys are going to be the studs that you're going to probably want to lean on in that offense. I don't expect too much to change, honestly, in Atlanta in terms of play calling and just the types. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. There might be certain types of plays that change, but in terms of their run, pass splits, things like that, if anything, I think they could be more run-oriented because we saw their defense. They were so young last year, and they started playing so good at the end of the year. Those guys just keep continuing to develop. They should be winning more games or have games closer. They don't necessarily have to whip it around as much as they've had to in the past. So, you know, as a Julio owner in Dynasty, yeah, okay, maybe he gets a few more touchdowns, but I think maybe he sees maybe a few less targets too, so it could be just a wash or the
wash that way. So Blister, looking into the backfield, it seems to be kind of foggy usually because it's a committee, but both these guys tend to be producers. Anything you're looking at as far as the Atlanta backfield?
No, I think I think because there's two guys there that they often get pushed down the ranks a bit, or they get devalued in a sense, and I think that Devontae Freeman is a guy that can still put up solid fantasy numbers. I mean, since he's been there, so Tevin Coleman's been there pretty much the following year, and you know, Devontae Freeman is still been producing at a high rate, right? Or RB1 in 2015, RB6 in 2016. So I think your bigger money should be spent on Freeman, but Coleman is not a bad guy if you can have them both. I mean, when one of them goes down, if they go down with injury, then the other one obviously becomes so much more valuable. But I think the higher dollar value is going to be Freeman, and if you can afford to take them both, then it's not a bad idea. But Coleman is a guy that, you know, I don't think you can write him off because he can still produce when he's on the field as well. But I wouldn't be afraid of how they affect each other. If you're looking for a true number one, and you don't get Zeke, and you don't get Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson, well, Freeman's a pretty solid option for you to have.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, Slim, when you were looking here, I mean, there's a lot of gadget players in the league this year. Gabriel, is he one of those gadget players that you just want to stay away from heading into 2017?
Yeah, I mean, I typically don't like these kinds of players. I don't like players who a large portion of their production comes from, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. Plays that are hard to reproduce consistently, I guess.
So 85-yard touchdowns?
Exactly. If you're taking 85-yard, you know, a screen pass, and you're taking it 85 yards, and you do that four times in season, how realistic is that you can do that again next year? So that's kind of, you know, the scary thing with guys like Taylor Gabriel, you know, Tyreek Hill, things like that. Yes, they're explosive, but if teams start taking away those types of things, and even in just, contrarian type plays. I mean, there's only so many times you can roll and, you know, snake eyes on a dice before you're not going to do that anymore. But these are the types of plays that just don't happen regularly. So you might run through a week of, you know, it happens fairly regularly, but after that, it's just the law of averages is going to balance out. To me, Taylor Gabriel's a guy that, you know, he caught fire, but he did it with a very low number of targets. I want volume for guys. To me, that's the safest bet. He just doesn't offer that.
And Slim, more than $3 for Austin Hooper this year?
Yeah, I like Hooper, I'll be honest. I mean, I think ideally I would love to get him as a tight end too, and if I'm streaming. But, you know, if I decided to go really cheap, I'm probably streaming anyway, so then he'd be awesome. But yeah, I think he'd go for more than $3. I mean, tight end's a position that's devalued, but I could see him going for around, you know, 5 or 6 or something like that.
All right. Blister, let's talk more about some guys who are going to go for more than 5 or 6. Let's take a look at the Carolina Panthers. There's a few guys on here that are exciting moving into the season as new rookies. We've got a guy, it's like Greg Olsen out there, found Calvin Benjamin. What do you think about the Panthers heading into 2017?
Well, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical about the Panthers. You know, Cam didn't have a great year last year after becoming, previous year being a league MVP. I just think that, you know, I just don't know how much ego Cam has. Like, can he operate with these new weapons he was given, or is it going to be, you know, too much for him to, you know, rely on them consistently? If I look at this receiving core, first of all, Calvin Benjamin, he's supposedly extremely overweight. He hasn't really produced a whole lot. I mean, he's a big guy, so he's a good red zone option. But, you know, other than that, he's not producing the kind of numbers that you can ever bank on for consistency on your team. And he's a guy that I'm going to just completely avoid. Funchess, it's hard to say whether he'll be able to make the next step or not. He had glimpses of being good, but not a lot. And I really don't think that, you know, he's a guy that, that you can also count on a whole lot. So, you know, they drafted this Curtis Samuel, who's a lot like McCaffrey, and he's going to play receiver. He could be good, but, you know, there hasn't really been a wide receiver in Carolina that you could really bank on as a number one. If they're not clear cut in their role, and it's really hard to justify spending any money on them in an auction because you really don't know if it's a waste of money. Like if it's only $8 or if it's $7 or if it's $26 or whatever the cost is on a receiver in Carolina, well, it could, you know, if they don't, if you can't rely on them week to week, then you're kind of throwing your money away. I'd rather put it into something that I have confidence in. And then, you know, if I made the wrong decision, I made the wrong decision, but it's hard to do that. Spend the money and then go in and, you know, you have to start this guy in your team every week, and then they're a dud. You know, it's harder to swallow that one. But Greg Olsen, he should be, again, quite reliable. He is he's not getting any younger. So he's a guy that, you know, I think because of guys like Kelce and Jordan Reed and, you know, Gronk is going to be, again, healthy at the start of the year. Greg Olsen's going to slide a little bit down the tight end value or the tight end costs, and so you might be able to pick him up maybe cheaper than you ever have in one of these, in one of your auctions. And then quickly, if I touch on Christian McCaffrey, I mean, Jonathan Stewart is still there, and again, the big question mark I guess you have with him is, you know, how much will he get used? I think we all know he's very talented, but right out of the gate, are they going to be giving him the ball? Are they going to be throwing the ball? How many touches is he going to be getting? You know, I think that's scary.
I think I'm getting gunshots. Oh, sorry. That's just pre-July 4th fireworks. Listen to that.
Oh, really? Does that sound good over there?
Oh, yeah. Getting scared out here. Drive by on 5th Street.
Could be happening. Anyways, yeah. So for the most part, I probably, you know, I would probably take Greg Olsen, but I guess for the rest of the Carolina offense, I think I'd rather let somebody else buy it.
So, Slim, looking at another important guy on that offense, wow, there's a lot going on over there. Another important guy on the Panthers offense, Cam, last year we had him ranked as the number one overall quarterback heading into the season. And, I mean, obviously he's not going to be there heading into 2017. Does that make him a value all of a sudden this year?
It doesn't necessarily for me. I don't have him ranked anywhere near number one again. And I think it's hard to maybe say a guy is a value at the quarterback position. At least I have a hard time doing that in a one QB league.
Yeah.
Just because I don't put much value in it to begin with. I mean, I was actually thinking of this, doing a little quote-unquote thought exercise the other day when I was cutting my grass, thinking about Aaron Rodgers. And, okay, how many points did this guy get? And I was listening to a podcast where they talked about this for the first time that this guy could remember he was going in the 5th round in drafts. So we're talking about in just snake drafts,
yeah,
which hasn't happened in whatever. I can't remember, maybe ever, for Aaron Rodgers. And he was the top quarterback being taken. This guy was saying, "No, here we go. Now late round QB is starting to become mainstream enough where number one quarterbacks are actually dropping lower and lower and lower with the masses." And that made me think, okay, well, so if this happens in my auction draft, what would I be willing to spend on Aaron Rodgers? And I still didn't come up with a price. But that's something I think I'd have to think about. And anyway, Cam Newton, though, even if he went for, you know, $15, yeah, I don't think that's necessarily a great value because I could see somebody having him, or a lot of people having him as, you know, maybe their quarterback 7 or something like that, 8, where that's probably the range he's going to go in anyway. So, yeah, I don't think it's a huge value, especially with some of these young QBs, Mariota, Jameis Winston, getting pretty big upticks in value and stuff like that.
All right, anything else, Blister, from the Panthers, or can I move on to Slim with the Saints next?
Yeah, let's move on to the Saints.
All right, so let's move on to the Saints. We've talked about some crowded backfields. This one's a really interesting one. A lot of moves in New Orleans. Shout out to Gibby, who just visited the Big Easy, yeah, by the way. Anyways, Slim, now you got a little inside scoop because Gibby was down there. The brother-in-law was there. So, anyways, talk to us about the Saints.
Well, all he told me about was the po' boys he ate, the beers he drank, the cucumber mojitos he was drinking, the breakfast that he had, things like that. But
that sounds about an accurate description.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't meet Mark Ingram or anything like that. I wish he did because he could get some invite. I didn't hope. But,
oh, okay, good. You didn't see Kamara down there at all?
Nothing. No, but I'm glad you gave me the Saints.
AP. This is a confusing. Yeah, AP didn't hit him with a stick. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. No. I gave you the Saints. Go.
But yeah, to me, the biggest thing is going to be what happens with the running back situation. I find myself flipping around a lot. When AP first went there, I was kind of up the mindset, whatever, he's not going to do much. And then they dropped a guy like Alvin Kamara, whose specialty is catching passes in the backfield. And then it made me really worried for a guy like Mark Ingram. And then I read things and I think about it. And there was a guy who did a comparison of the touches they had last year in 2016 for the running back position. And essentially, Mark Ingram obviously dominated, but then Tim Hightower, he did most of his damage on the ground, didn't catch too many passes. And they had a guy like Cadet who just about did everything through the air, didn't catch a ton of passes. And he kind of broke it down and what he projects, and he still comes out with Ingram leading the team in touches by quite a large margin, which is something I didn't necessarily think. So I think it could be kind of an ugly kind of mess. And if that's the case, I have a feeling Mark Ingram might be the cheapest or one of the cheaper guys. I think Kamara will be cheap. The problem is I just don't think he's going to get a lot of handoffs. And I don't know how many passes he will catch. I think he's a skilled pass catcher. I just can't pinpoint a number. And that's scary a little bit. At least until we see what happens. So it's definitely something I think you want to monitor in the preseason. Check out their usages. And like, I think we all know what Adrian Peterson's going to be doing. He's going to be used for the goal line and, you know, short yardage stuff. How much is he going to be used, you know, first and second down? That to me is the question. Does Ingram split that fairly evenly with him? Does he get more touches than Peterson? I have no idea. I really don't. I don't even know what Peterson offers in terms of, you know, what he's got left in the tank. So to me, this is a situation that I had a hard time. I still have a hard time trying to peg. If I had to lean, I have Ingram as my bust because I think that AP is going to get more touches. But when I see beat writers writing these things, I have to really think hard and at least make me think about it. I also got to tell myself, okay, these guys, this isn't the gospel either, but
right.
Anyway, it's confusing. So yeah, a lot to think about there at the running back position.
Well, a lot to think about Blister at the receiving position too, with the loss of Brandon Cooks and a ton of targets. What's that receiving core look like this year?
Well, Michael Thomas is going to be there. Number one stud there, but I am a little worried. I mean, he's relatively young, obviously. He'll be forced into the number one role, which he really didn't have to play last year, so he's going to see all the number one defensive backs and corners and everything like that. So he's going to have to, you know, that's going to be a new challenge to him. I really, you know, Ted Ginn is there now. I've never been a big fan of Ted Ginn, but, you know, he does have speed. And he could stretch the field, and I mean, he's got a great quarterback to get him the ball. So he could be the sleeper here, a guy that I really haven't put a lot of thought into. There's a lot of hype right now on Willie Snead, and Willie Snead could get the most passes. Like, he could become a good slot PPR back, or sorry, receiver, and I think he will have a pretty big year. Cooks left and leaves, I think it was 104, 100 and some odd targets. You know, he left, and those have to be dispersed around. So it's going to probably be some more for Willie and Michael and Ted Ginn getting those targets. So I think that, you know, Michael Thomas, because he had such a great year last year, is going to, you know, garner a lot of attention. People are going to look at last year's final results and see how well he did. But I'm a little skeptical or a little nervous. I think he's still a great receiver, but I just wonder that, you know, there's that next year after, like, is he able to maintain, is he able to do that? I would think that probably where he ends up getting drafted or the price tag that he ends up costing, I don't think he's going to live up to it this year. Just my inside feeling. But Willie Snead, I definitely think could be in line for a better year than he's had. And Ted Ginn could be a sleeper. I really don't like him, like I said, but I think he could be a guy that you could grab, obviously, for a buck or two. And he might really produce for you in some instances as well, because he's going to have a quarterback who can finally get him the ball. So it could be a real, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, Slim, speaking of quarterbacks, Drew Brees finishes as the number two. Last year, we had him ranked 5 coming into the season. And his AAV last year, right into the season, was at $15. Does he go for more than 15 this year because he's just like a no miss?
I don't know. I think this would be dependent. To be quarterbacks is such a crapshoot. It depends on how.
I'm sorry to go back to quarterbacks with you again. No, I had Cam. It just happens that way.
Aaron Rodgers is kind of in his own kind of stratosphere a little bit. We'll say that because I think most people agree he's number one or at worst number two. But I would assume most people probably put him at number one. And then you start getting into, okay, there's Brady, there's Brees, maybe you put Luck in there. Some people will. I personally wouldn't, because of his shoulder injury and he hasn't even thrown yet and all this stuff. That's a little bit scary for me. I just think that's, doesn't really bode well for elite fantasy production, at least in terms of the guys that we're talking about. So $15, yeah, I can see that. I mean, maybe somebody likes Andrew Luck more, or maybe someone likes Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, those guys. There's a lot of name value that comes with quarterbacks that's not necessarily tied to production. So the average owner might just buy into name value. It doesn't actually look close enough at what's happening. And again, Andrew Luck would be a prime example of that potentially. But I'm glad Mr. Bunch and Ted Ginn, because I think he is an excellent sleeper candidate. To me, he's a guy every owner in a draft should be looking at, somebody like that's your last pick in the draft for a buck.
Right.
Like Kenny Stills was awesome as their number three deep threat. It's exactly what Ted Ginn does. To me, this is a perfect fit for his skill set. And like Lister said, if Michael Thomas is drawing a lot of attention, then they're going to look for a guy like Ginn to just take the top off the defense. And that's excellent for a dollar player.
And Drew Brees not afraid to chuck it, so that's a good thing too.
That's right.
Yeah. So, speaking of a guy who likes to, who's starting to chuck it a lot more and has a lot more weapons, Blister, let's move into the box here. Jameis Winston and company. He's got a lot of weapons at his disposal. We're not quite sure what's happening in the backfield, especially for the first 4 weeks. But talk to us about the box heading into this year, the Rockers.
Well, I think that there's going to be some interesting. I really like the receiving core that they have with Mike Evans. Obviously, I think he could be one of the top, if not the top, receiver this year. He's going to be challenging for that position. But I really like the addition of DeSean Jackson. I think that's going to help their offense. I drafted Chris Godwin. I don't know if he'll be producing much this year or not. But those two guys right there, I think, are going to complement each other quite well. Evans is going to cost you a lot of money. Probably going to be one of your top 4 or 5 most expensive receivers this year, going for, I'd say, $45 or $50+. I would estimate
at this point. Top five, we went, AB was 66 was his AAV. Julio was 60. Odell Beckham 59, AJ Green 52, Hopkins at 55. So that was your top five last year.
Yeah. So I think definitely you're going to be going well over 50 for Evans this year. I think I have him ranked right now as my third ranked receiver. Only have AB and Julio ahead of him. So I think that's going to do quite well. I expect Jameis Winston to be better this year again. He came into the league, with quite a good resume, and it takes some positions a bit of time to really get better, but they get better and better every year. And a guy like, you know, Cameron Brait, I think a lot of people will be writing Cameron Brait off this year because like they drafted O.J. Howard. Yeah, and, you know, probably for good reason.
Read it. The last
sentence. Bust.
It's a bust, but I said, what did I say? I said, don't expect Brait to disappear altogether.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. Yeah. Go on, Buster.
Well, it's, yeah, I think that, you know, he's, like, gotta remember with tight ends, like, remember, before this, we talked about the Falcons and Austin Hooper, and I think he takes a big leap this year, but tight ends don't typically come right out of the gate and make a big splash. And even though O.J. Howard, you know, he had a great college year and career, and he looks to be that guy. I think it's going to take him some time as well to adjust to the game and everything else. And all total, I don't think O.J. Howard even caught a hell of a lot of touchdowns in his college career, you know, so all of a sudden now he's in the NFL, and I guess people are expecting, like, if I think, I wish I had that in front of me. I don't have it in front of me right now, but I think they would be shocked that, you know, he wasn't a huge producer. Then again, you know, the offense changes and the situation changes, and he could be called upon more, especially in the red zone, because he's such a big guy. But Brait's a guy that, yeah, I think as far as the options go, he could be good out of the gate for you still, as people will be writing him off. But I would think that maybe partway through the season, you're going to have to be looking to have somebody else to replace him if you don't have O.J. Howard on your team.
So, Slim, what happens in the backfield?
Yeah. I was hoping Blister would talk more about it because I'll two things. One, I don't really care. And two, I don't know. So, I mean, with McNichols there now and Sims, personally, I think I want to avoid everybody and spend a dollar on Jacquizz Rodgers because to me he's pretty much as talented as all of those guys and he's going to be the cheapest. And I find when it's a running back situation that's very cloudy and we don't know necessarily who's going to emerge, if I had to take somebody, I want just the cheapest guy because he becomes the most expendable. And we saw Rodgers actually can produce when he got opportunity with Sims and Martin, you know, were both out or not being used a lot. He did well. And we know Martin's already missing time. You know, if Sims was something was ever to happen, I don't know how much they're going to rely just on Sims alone just to run the ball. So to me, Rodgers makes the most sense just in terms of a straight value play. But yeah, I don't know about the rest. So I right now I'm kind of tending to avoid it until we can see things or just until we get a basis on what some of these prices are going once we start mock drafting more.
Blister, you were a Sims believer last year. What do you think of him this year, especially with this first four game situation?
Well, I mean, he's coming off injury. He had a pretty good year. He kind of is a lot like a Theo Riddick in my mind. Catches a lot of passes. Had some explosive moments, but I'm just not sold on him or Dougie Martin at this point. Doug's suspended for four games. I think Slim's got a good point. Spending the buck on Jacquizz, he might be, you know, if it doesn't work out, who cares? You throw him away and it's not no loss, but you know, he could produce. Somebody has to start for the first four games. I really don't think it's going to be Sims. Sims will probably play the third down role, but it could be Rodgers that starts. I don't know if McNichols will be there, but it's hard to say. And if he does, I mean, if somebody starts and can run with it, like I probably don't have as much confidence. If Jacquizz Rodgers starts, I think he is okay, but I do think Doug Martin gets a chance to get his job back when he comes back. If Jerry McNichols wins a starting job before that, then, and he does fine with the job, then I don't know if Doug Martin does get the starting job back when he comes up, you know, when he rolls back in town.
Yeah.
And they've been saying it, he looks great in camp and blah, 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 but they say that every year. And
sure. We
really haven't had the results or the numbers that we expect when you're having a great year. So it's probably a good one to avoid.
And I had a good conversation with my 10-year-old, he enjoys playing Madden with the muscle hamster, and then we had a discussion about why the muscle hamster and then why there's so much muscle, and so then he wasn't such a big fan of Doug Martin anymore after we had that, I think he referred to him as cheater. And then he proceeded to kick my arse in a game. He just handed it to me. Sue just ran, dismantled my O-line. Anyways, we're playing on random. Let's just get it out in the open. We're playing random teams. He gets the Dolphins. I get the Rams. And, like, a wet paper bag was the Rams offensive line. And if that's any indication going into this season, well, stay away from Todd Gurley. Let me tell you, holy Christ. Todd Gurley could not see the light of day. And Goff, I think, threw more picks than he did receptions. So it was ugly. It was ugly. The pressure got to me. Anyways, speaking of the pressure getting to me, this division is an interesting division in fantasy football, I think. I think there's a lot of key players on these four teams that are going to make and break your fantasy teams. I think it's big names. It's big offenses. It's not great defenses sometimes, and makes for a pretty key division in fantasy football.
For sure. I mean, I think Falcons are first and Saints are second ranked offense like last year. So there is some good offense and not a lot of defense really, and they can put up points. That's for sure.
So Slim, anything else to wrap up this NFC South?
Just professing my love for the Buccaneers. I really love what they've done, and I'm trying to stockpile Buccaneers if I can, especially in the passing game. It's true. I love Jim Godwin and Bristol. If I could have made it, I would have done it. Give me all the Jameis Winston. Give me all the Deshaun Jackson.
When it's spring time in the Rockies, I'll be coming back to you.